So, is this your first time at the temple? Have you ever listened to any of my talks on CD or watched any of my talks on YouTube? At this place, people come to learn how to practice Dhamma. There are really no other rituals performed here. Now we have people from many countries who come to learn. We have translators now in English and in Chinese. Foreigners are now interested because they lack meditation teachers. Written scriptures do exist in many countries, but what's lacking are teachers of meditation. Many foreigners now come to Thailand just to learn the Dhamma practice, whereas most Thais are still not interested in the Dhamma. We think Buddhism is all about rituals. On our birthdays, we go to the temple to make merits. On special occasions, we give alms to monks. When someone passes away, we cremate him or her at the temple. We think this is how to be a Buddhist. Once a year, we present robes to monks at the end of the Buddhist Lent. Yes, those are all the duties of Buddhists, but they're really secondary. The main point is we have to study what the Buddha taught. Otherwise, in the near future, our descendants may not even know what Buddhism is all about. They might want to understand Buddhism, but have to travel abroad to learn it. Just like now, when foreigners have to come to learn, it's quite difficult. For example, these Chinese, they come to learn Buddhism, but since I can teach only in Thai, some Chinese have to start learning the Thai language. They spend many years before they understand Thai. Then once they know the language, when Chinese students come, they help and translate for them. They even put Chinese translations on YouTube. Now have translations in many languages, English, Russian, and soon in Spanish. There'll also be a book printed in Spanish. See how difficult it is for a foreigner to learn the Dhamma. It's because of the language barrier. For Thais, it's much easier, because we know the language. But the problem is, we Thais are only interested in Buddhist rituals. We don't really know what the Buddha taught. We don't know our purpose as a Buddhist. These days, we are only afraid that Muslims will come and destroy Buddhism. The Buddha never said that Muslims will come and destroy Buddhism. What the Buddha said was, if the four Buddhist communities, consisting of monks, nuns, laymen, laywomen, do not study the Dhamma practice, do not follow the Dhamma rules and monk codes, when they don't study and practice, Buddhism will disappear. Therefore, the people that will destroy Buddhism are in fact Buddhists disinterested in the Buddha's teachings. So, do not think that you're too old or too young to study. During the Buddhist time, some people were ordained at the ripe age of 60. There were many old people who became monks. Therefore, it's wrong to think that you're too old to practice Dhamma. Real practice is not all about doing the sitting or walking meditation correctly. We can't really say that we're too old and cannot walk well, so we cannot practice the Dhamma. Sitting or walking meditation just touches the surface of Dhamma practice. The real core of the practice is really sati, or mindfulness, to constantly have awareness. Most people are not mindful. All day our minds wander off, sometimes to reminisce about the past, sometimes to think of the future or of someone. Now, if we want to practice Dhamma, we need to have constant awareness. Now, our body is breathing. Be aware that the body is breathing. Now the body is sitting, be mindful that it is sitting. Now the body is moving, it itches and we scratch. Be aware of the body moving. And when feelings arise, like worrying or feeling uncomfortable, dissatisfied where the doctor wants to see us so often, just know that dissatisfaction is a defilement rooted in aversion. The mind is dissatisfied. See the defilement arises and aware of the dissatisfaction. Or our kids don't come to visit. Where are they all? We raise them with hardship, and once they're grown up, they're all gone. We are unhappy. Be aware of the unhappiness. Or we worry about our children, our grandchildren, our savings, or other things. be aware of the worry. Be constantly mindful. The body moves, be aware. The mind constantly changes, be aware. This is called practicing Dhamma. Like when we sit and meditate, the mind worries. Be aware the mind is worried. This is practicing Dhamma. But if we sit and become lost in thought, forgetting about the self, this is not practicing Dhamma. It is unacceptable. Or when we do walking meditation, because we are too old, we don't walk as nice as younger people, we sometimes limp, for example. In fact, any posture will do as long as every step we walk, we are mindful. This is called doing walking meditation. But if someone walks beautifully, though the mind wanders off somewhere, just walking beautifully in meditation cannot be called practicing Dhamma. It is self-torture and futile. By walking, he gains nothing but defilements, thinking that he is more proficient than others, better than others, for example. Therefore, to practice Dhamma is not to do sitting or walking meditation in certain ways, but rather to sit with mindfulness. This is called practicing Dhamma. Like at this moment, we sit and are aware of the body breathing. The mind knows. The mind is aware the body is breathing. This is Dhamma practice. Or we walk around and lose our mind and then aware that our mind is wandering off. This is awareness of the wandering mind. This is Dhamma practice. So for walking meditation, every step that we walk with mindfulness, we are doing walking meditation. Every time we sit with mindfulness, we are doing sitting meditation. So let's not worry if the body is unfit to sit or walk for long periods of time. Sit with awareness, lie down with awareness, be aware often, and your lives will improve and filled with happiness. I found out I got cancer this past year and had to be admitted to the hospital for many months. I had chemotherapy once every 3 weeks, and after each session, which lasted a week, I would be very weak for the whole week. The following week, I would feel a little better. Then the fourth week came, and the whole process had to repeat again. 3 weeks rest, and then chemotherapy for a week. Not feeling well for 1 week, and then improving the following week. This cycle lasted 6 rounds. I stayed at the hospital for over 4 months and hardly left my room at all, except to go to the operating room or the X-ray unit, doing all kinds of scanning, checking the heart, for example. I never took a leisurely stroll anywhere and just stayed in the room. Doctors and nurses all asked if I was bored, having to remain in the hospital for a long time. I replied I was not bored, because boredom is a kind of defilement. Wherever I was content because I could practice Dhamma. At the hospital I can practice, at the temple I can practice. In fact, I can practice Dhamma anywhere. Therefore, wherever I am, I'm always content. Dhamma can always make us content. Nothing else in this world can make us content all the time. Take our kids, for example. We think we'll be happy if we're with them. But they cannot be with us all the time. They have to go to work, earn a living, or they have their own family, their own kids to take care of. So from now on, we older generation will be lonesome. If we don't have Dhamma within, we will be lonely. The next generation will be worse. Family units will shrink to just husband, wife, and a child. And once the child grows up, he or she will leave the house, leaving only husband and wife. And when one dies, there will be only one left. He or she will have to get a pet dog or a cat. If our lives become like this, we will be unhappy and lonesome. But if we have Dhamma, when we breathe, we recite Putto. Breathe and recite Putto. And when sadness arises, be aware of the sadness in the mind. Be mindful of the mind. The mind is worried or sad that our kids neglect and never visit us. Be aware of the feeling. For some elders, the kids visit often, but they forget and complain that nobody comes when in fact the family comes every day. So, when we get older and don't have Dhamma, our lives will be dismal. The body will become weak, not fit like before, right? We become more dependent on people around us, less independent, less happy. So, better start practicing Dhamma now. From now on, every breath we take, be aware, be mindful. Right now, are we breathing out or breathing in? Be mindful. Can you feel? Are you breathing out or in? Can you know? It's not difficult. Anybody can be aware. At this moment, are you standing, walking, sitting, or lying down? Can you know? Of course, anyone can know. We're sitting right now, right? Watch the body sit and be mindful. Watch the body breathe and be mindful. Be aware like this often, and the mind will develop mental discipline. It will have awareness. Eventually, wisdom will arise. We will see that the body and the mind are two separate entities. When the body ages, it's not us aging. The body becomes sick, not us getting sick. The body is dying, not us dying. We're just the observer, watching the body ages, become sick, and dies. We just watch with indifference and not be tormented by it. It's just like watching someone else ages, become sick, and dies. So, let's look at this body until it becomes someone else. It's like you who just submitted the homework. Some of you just started practicing for 2 months and already know how to be mindful. Some started 4 or 5 months ago and already know how, like the ones that just submitted the homework. People who practice mindfulness, like the 10-year-old boy I talked about earlier. He told me, the 10-year-old, he listens to my CD often. He knows how to be mindful and his life improves. From a kid that's inattentive all day long to a kid that is mindful. Distracted and unable to concentrate, he couldn't study. He couldn't compete with his classmates. But with mindfulness, he started to understand the lectures. So be aware of the body often. When angry at someone, just know the anger has arisen. When sad, just know it. When worried, just know it. Be aware of the mind often, and the mind will progress. Eventually, we can live alone and be content. When we age, we will be content. When we get sick, we will be content. And when we die, we will still be content. We won't have to rely on others to come and visit, because we won't be lonesome. Such feelings will not arise. Once we know how to practice mindfulness, sometimes if we have too many visitors, we may even think it's a waste of time. So let's practice. Be mindful often. Recite putto, putto, putto. And once the mind wanders off, we'll know that it has wandered off. Putto, putto. And the mind starts to think of something else, we'll know the mind went to think of something else. Putto and be aware of the mind often. Or do breathing exercise. Breathe out and be aware. Breathe in and be aware. And when the mind thinks of something else, just know it. Putto is good. Putto and aware of the mind. Breathing is good. Breathe and aware of the mind. Stand, walk, sit, lie down and aware of the body. Stand, walk, sit, lie down. And if the mind slips away, be aware. Constantly be aware and we will see that it changes all the time. Eventually, we'll gain the knowledge that all feelings arise and disappear. Happiness, sadness, good feelings, craving, anger, and delusion all arise and disappear. Observe often enough and the mind will wise up. It will see that happiness arises and disappears, suffering arises and disappears. From then on, whether the mind is happy or sad, whatever affects our lives, we will not be shaken. We crave for happiness. We want to be happy and hate to suffer. But no matter how much we hate suffering, it keeps occurring. No matter how much we love happiness, it keeps disappearing. We cannot control anything, be it happiness or suffering. Therefore, once we gain wisdom, we'll realize that happiness is impermanent, happiness cannot be controlled. Suffering is impermanent, suffering cannot be controlled. Then whether the mind is happy or sad, it will become equanimous towards both feelings. It will not sway towards happiness or sadness. We will see clearly that happiness and suffering, they both arise and disappear. All things arise and disappear. The main obstacle for older people is absent-mindedness. This is because the brain starts to deteriorate with age and we become forgetful easily. So be mindful often. And this will slow down the deterioration process. You at the second row, the man with the glasses, you're doing well. The mind is good, resulting from good practice. No, it's not you, the one behind. You in front still don't have awareness. It's not difficult. Tama practice is not limited to any gender or age group. No. Or to monks or lay people. No. Whoever is constantly mindful, his or her mind will be good. So, be aware often. This team, if you cannot come and see me, please listen to my CDs. They are free of charge, so listen often. Even if you have just one CD, keep listening to it. There are lots of my lectures on the internet as well. Download them and listen. And soon you will know how to practice Tamma. And once you know how, your mind will be like Batman's. His mind is clear and constantly aware. Constantly aware without any intention. It's good on its own. And we will know when it wanders off to think by itself. Like now, it wanders off to think. Do you know? It wanders off to think and we are aware. So simple. There, it wanders off again. Can you see? Be mindful often. This is called practicing Tamma. Doing sitting or walking meditation just touches the surface of Tamma practice. Mindfulness is really the core of the practice. So, don't let the mind wander off. Two mistakes in Tamma practice are, first, the wandering mind. Second, the controlled mind, afraid that the mind will wander off and stress out as a result. Just like the kid that just submitted the homework, the one that has just practiced for 10 days until the mind became stiff, still, and blunt. Doing it that way is not good. If he continued like this for long, the mind will become so dull and still, unwavering with eye crossed. So, just relax and be mindful. So, where would the group go after this? Oh, good. Sightseeing of the golden toilet bowl. There will be Tamma books and CDs for you all. Please take them. Or we'll take them to the bus for you all. Special delivery. This is all for today. Go enjoy sightseeing.